Kedab, now obviously, so much in terms of our conceptualization of the Isser that appears in the Yerushalmi really hinges on two factors. The language of the Yerushalmi itself, B'shoshim mikomos huzhari Yisrael shalo lashuv Eretz Mitzrayim, or a slightly distinctive language in the Mechilta, shalo lachzor l'Mitzrayim, which can be taken in one of three ways. Either the Isser is on the Chazara itself, that is to say, you know, going in that direction. The Isser is, you know, being there, which is itself the problem, or it's a combination of the two. The Isser is Chazara for the purposes of Yeshiva. Now, clearly, in light of the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin, there's evidence to suggest that being there itself is significantly problematic, unless it's, you know, for some purpose, like we said, you know, schora, pragmatia, lichbos ratzos acheros, which in light of the nitziv is not the kind of thing that is alul, that is vulnerable to that kind of influence. But again, that would be suggestive of the idea that the influence per se is problematic. So let's take a look at the Bavli, the Bavli in the Sukkah. Right, you see the Greek influence, but also the term, you know, dual, dio, right, meaning, you know. So there is something double about it. There's actually a lot that's double about it. So that's one double, right? The stav, lifnim mi stav. Okay, that would be another aspect of the kefel, right? The double of Yotzei Mitzrayim. But this became the famous part of the Gemara, right? The Amen Yesoma, that you couldn't really hear the bracha, but they were still answering Amen anyway. And, you know, in terms of the virtual minyanim, we all remember this in the Gemara in Sota, Afilu Mechitza Shel Barzel, and Yachal Lahafsik Ben Yisrael Avim Shabbat Shemayim, but that's not our topic for now. But, you know, you can't drive by these things without noticing them. Right, seating was organized by a profession. They had the doctor sitting by themselves and the lawyer sitting by. It's probably good for fundraising. You imagine the Yom Kippur appeal. You know, it's like, we're not going to get outbid by the lawyers this year again, are we? You know, and the accountants, you know, and then there's one guy in the hedge fund in the corner and he just outbids everybody. But what are you going to do about that? Okay. Okay, so it did not end well. Okay. Right. So of the three, the Bavli picks out not Ki Asher Isa Mis Mitzrayim Hayom Lo Susifin Ler Od Ler Osam Od Adolam, not Veshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim Banios Baderach Asher Amarti Lecha Lo Susif Od Ler Osa, but lo and behold, which pasuk? The one not from Bishalach or Kisavo, but right. Excellent, Shimon. Right? Lo Yashiv is Ham Mitzrayim Laman Harber Sus Hashem Bar Lachem Lo Sosivin Lashu Baderech Hazeod. Admittedly, like we said, a pasuk that seems to emphasize the shiva, the return, more than the actual being there. Okay. Right. So they came back, and so I don't know. I mean, what is this a chi of Misa Bidei Shemayim? It sounds pretty gruesome. Okay, so Alexander the Great applied to himself, interesting, you know, he was a careful listener, right? I guess that's what happens when you're tutored by Aristotle himself, you know, as he was. So, you know, if you learn from Aristotle, who learned from Plato, who learned from Socrates, I guess that develops the analytical abilities a little bit. So he said, oh, you know, they're reading the Tochacha. You saw Hashem Alecha Goy Merachol Kasher Yideh HaNasher, like swooping in like the eagle. So I thought this trip was going to take me 10 days, but I had the tailwind, so it only took me 5 days. I must be that guy. And he killed them all. So, okay, you know, for what it's worth, obviously, you know, Alexander the Great, you know, was a figure that Chazal were fascinated by in his interactions with Shimon HaTzadik, and that's also not for now. But it's possible to read this Bavli, and even the Bavli doesn't formulate it in terms of the same prescriptive terms, right? Eitan as Yerushalmi. You could argue that the Bavli is suggesting that there's an Isser here, right? Right, either just by, it's an Haggadah, to be sure, but sort of by proxy, right? If you can sort of see that they were killed for it, so this is like divine retribution for the, you know, for the story at hand. Okay, so that obviously is relevant, and then if the Bavli is, you know, to be taken in any normative sense, it is very interesting that the one Pasuk which is picked out happens to be the Pasuk that concerns us the most. V'lo yashiv esam mitzrayim eleman harbosus v'Hashem amar lachem lo sos yifun nashu baderech hazeo, that there's a separate and distinctive iser of either returning to Egypt or living Egypt, or maybe both, returning to Egypt for the sake of living in Egypt. We'll have to have that out. Okay, so in any event, that's the Bavli, and you know, it should be understood in dialogue with the Yerushalmi and the Michilta. Again, there are subtleties here in each case. And if we just had this Agada, it would be hard to know exactly what to make of it. But the Yerushalmi, maybe the dominant source, and then we have a secondary source. Okay, so the Minchas Chiyuch says, "Mavur b'divrei Rambam ve'Rav Mechaber." Kolzman. Okay, so what evidence have we seen that might suggest that so far? We're obviously going to encounter the Rishonim ourselves, but the Isser isn't what I call a halachic Chernobyl. It's not like, you know, Egypt is radioactive. It's just like, you know, a do not enter zone, or, you know, the Fukushima nuclear reactor now in Japan, we can add to that list, right? So it's not that, but it's about Egypt as an expression of Egyptian culture. And like, where might we have seen something which sort of reflects that interpretation? Nisiv. Yeah, the Nisiv, right, because you don't want to be influenced. Ariel, that's what you wanted to say also?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Okay. So then, as a logical consequence of that, you know, you might argue that if the Egyptians have been extirpated from that setting, okay. So then the issue that you have to weigh that against is, are there really Mitzrim? And the Nafka Mina would, of course, be, you know, the Mitzri and the Adomi phenomenon of the Dor Shlishi, Yavo Lahem Bikal Hashem. So if you assume that, and we'll see the Tosefta in just a moment, but if you're going to make the argument that Mitzrim are gone, so presumably they're gone for both Hablachos, they're probably gone for the Issa Darais of living in Egypt, and they're probably gone also for the issue of the Mitzri Shlishi. If they're gone, they're gone. If they're here, they're here. So it'd be hard to split the difference between the two. Right. Okay, so there's going to be a whole school. This is the school of the Uraim and some of the other Balei Hatosos, that maybe the Isser is not so much in Egypt per se, but in going back there. Like, you know, the psukim which emphasize lo sosifun lashuv baderech hazeod, the issue is returning along this pathway, you know, and or the psukim in Kisavo veshiv chashem mitzrayim bonios baderech hasher amarti lecha lo sosifod lir osa. Okay. Boba yom meaning. Yeah, Shimon. Right, the Edu Yoste, yeah, okay. Right, so another Ramliel Rabbi Yeshua issue, it's appropriate for Edu Yost, okay? Right, so if you assume that Sancheiriv was Mevalbel all of the Umos, so then, okay. You know, the Mitzrim aren't really the Mitzrim of yore. And then Nafkamina, for purposes of Dor Shlishi, and maybe even if you take this approach, that it's not really about Mitzrayim, but it's about the Mitzrim, so then they don't exist anymore. Okay, that would be all well and good if we make that assumption. So Amar Rav Gamliel, we're still waiting. Okay. So right, he's not going to pass in a machokis from Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua. He says, "So what do you want from me?" Okay. So you got to sympathize with the man. He's just trying to do the right thing. As if conversion wasn't, you know, enough of a transition, you know, trying to figure out what his status is, right? You know, okay. Right, so we can pass him like Rabbi Yeshua. Oh, okay, very good. So it's on the end. Rabbi Gamliel seems to be challenging Rabbi Yeshua and says, what are you going to say the same thing about the Mitzrim too? That we've obliterated the Gam Dora Siri Lo Yavo Lahem Bichal Hashem for the Ammonium Moavi. So we're going to obliterate it for the Mitzrim also. And there Rabbi Yeshua says, that's my outer limit. Why? Because what's unique about the Mitzrim? Right. So the Torah, or the Tanakh, gave a kitzvah. It put a, you know, yeshladavar kitzvah, as we say. There is an outer boundary, namely the 40-year point, and as such, there really isn't going to be any issue with respect to the Mitzrim having been liquidated, you know, like Sancheiriv did to the other nations. So presumably that shayach not only for Dor Shlishi Yavolam Bikal Hashem, but for our topic of Mitzrim and the culture being, you know, consistent. Okay, so let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam has a really fascinating shita. The Rambam plays two roles in this sugya. He really wears two hats. One of them is what he always does. The other is he's an object of fascination for everybody because, right, KD, how is he? You know, he wasn't there checking out the embassies and the consulates, you know. He was there, you know, for years and years. Okay, so Eitan, go ahead. Let's take a look at the Rambam first in his classical form. Right, nobody would read the Chumash and assume that this is prescriptive. It really just sounds like a description. Don't be scared of the Egyptians. You see them today, they'll be annihilated tomorrow. You're going to be punished so badly in the Tochacha that God is going to bring you back to Egypt, even though you were never supposed to go back down that path. Or the king shouldn't have too many horses. And he shouldn't bring the people back to Egypt for the sake of getting horses. God said he didn't want that. You know, this and that. It sounds like a descriptive, all three of these. But we have a tradition, Ba Kabbalah Shehu Azhara, right? It's based on the Yerushalmi. And then the Bavli. Right, so this applies to Alexandria as well. Now, the Rambam here really tips his hand in terms of establishing what he thinks the Mechayev is, which may potentially open us up to some interesting discussions. So what's the problem with Egypt? It's not, right, I say a halachic Chernobyl or Fukushima, but... Right, yeah, right, exactly. So they've got the idea from somewhere. Shelo nilmod mimaseihem velo nelech v'darcheihem emegunim. It's a reflection of the uniquely debased culture of the Egyptians. So despite the fact that that's what the story is, right, sometimes the rationale for the Isser then expresses itself in terms of, you know, the land. So the Rambam is a really interesting shita, where it's definitely about the Mitzrim per se, but unless you get to a really extreme place that we're about to see, the Rambam's position is but that therefore the land is off limits because of this, you know, just unacceptable culture that's pervasive in Egypt. You know, shtufin bezima, you know, all the things that we associate with Egypt and, you know, it's it's well earned on their part. Okay, so the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, go ahead. Yeshua the Chodavar, meaning, you know, Kedusha, Saris Yisrael, the Nintrumos, and Maestros, and Shvias, and the like. Right, so that's a reference to a very famous Rambam in Hilchos Trumos, that David HaMelech made a mistake, and he captured Aram Tzova before all of Eretz Yisrael was captured, so it only had the din of a Kibosh Yachid, not a Kibosh Rabim. Oh, so, right, despite the fact that we know that the Rambam's concern from the Sefer HaMitzvos is the Mitzrim, right, it translates to Mitzrayim. So he gives you some of the details. Where do you get that? Right, that was the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin. Right, maybe we were there for the embassies and the consulates to interview the Marines. Who knows? So the Maisa is dissociated from the Lav, because the Lav is Lishtakeya, to sort of stay there. Okay? Say, wow, these villas are pretty nice, as I was elaborating on yesterday. Maybe I really should hang out here. So then what's going to happen? Definitely, right? That's Alexander the Great may be on your tail. But the point is, right, that would then be the Isser, but it would be a lav she yeshbo or einbo maisa. Right, at that point, you can't rehabilitate the lav, the maisa, right, Shua? Because when you crossed over, you thought you were going to be in and out, right? Okay. Then life happened. But the Rambam says, since I believe, right, Avishai, in concept, that it's really much more about the Mitzrim than Mitzrayim, even though the Tzura of the Lav transfers from the population to the land, the Rambam says, it seems to me that this transfer of the Lav from the people and their culture, their debased culture, to the land is not absolute. In what sense? So, Eitan, give me the outer boundary case and then explain it in your own words. So, what's the Yirah Ali? The Rambam says he can't really be sure of the point, but it seems reasonable to him to make what assumption? Exactly, because this isn't halachic Chernobyl. That's not really the issue. The issue is the Mitzrim. So if you could really demonstrate that Egyptian culture had been totally uprooted, so what's the Rambam's sort of way of assessing that? I was in some kind of a meeting today, on the executive committee of a particular organization. Be careful of saying yes to these things. It's important in general, but, you know, you have to wonder a little bit. So in any event, somebody was saying, well, you can see that we're not that important an organization, because if you could do a Google search, we don't even come up first, you know, for X, Y, or Z. So the Rambam apparently was not, I thought that was a strange assessment, but who am I to judge? So the Rambam says it's not based on the Google search, okay, but what would the standard be? Right, and Kavash Eretz Yisrael, Melech Yisrael, Al Pi Besdin, in other words, if it becomes an extension of Eretz Yisrael, with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, as we know, that's his theory, right? It's Kibush Rabim, with all the dinim of Trumos and Maestros, so then you can't tell me that it's Chernobyl, because it's really Eretz Yisrael Hamur Chavet at that point. So the Rambam, right, is allowing for that outer boundary to really exist, I think, in a meaningful way. He's paying homage for Gavi, or homage to the rest of us, right, to the fact that it's really about Egyptian culture. Kim Aasei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtim Ba Lo Sasun. And Avi, when you think about it from that point of view, how does that pasuk go on? Kim Aasei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtim Ba Lo Sasun. Right, we're supposed to be severed off from that culture, and then what else? Asher Yeshavtim Ba Lo Sasun Uchim Aasei. So in one case, Shimon, just elaborate on where I'm going with this. God didn't want us to be part of Mas Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan. So what did he do with the Eretz Mitzrayim part of it? Right, he sealed us off from Mitzrayim. What did he do with the Mas Eretz Canaan side of the equation? Yeah, right. Hacharim ta'acharimim. So you have this really interesting idea. And I think what the Rambam is saying, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If the Maase Eretz Canaan is not really a concern, as long as you, right, wipe out those people, then what can you sort of rehabilitate back into the Maase Eretz Mitzrayim? Right. I mean, if they're not really a threat to influence you because the land is now sovereign Eretz Israel, I think there's a very strong case to be made. I saw a hand. Two, actually. Three. Okay. General, David, Shimon.
Are we never willing to believe that the people of Mitzrayim can change? It's only if we get rid of
them. Right. It seems that way, right? These people, somehow when they're in their culture, seem to be, the culture at least, is. You hesitate to ever say a person is irredeemable. But the culture is like irredeemably debased. Yeah, that's one of the, that's a classic general question, putting his finger right on the pulse of the sukkah. Okay. Nice. Okay, David.
Is that why we say that opinion that says the small blue umas, it says it's like they're destroyed, that so therefore?
Well, there it's a little different in the sense that like it's just different people. I mean, they may call themselves Egyptians, but they're just not really the same Egyptians. So if you did a wholesale population transfer, that would obviously make a difference also. But the Rambam doesn't seem to, you know, like that. The Rambam, you know, wants to say, you know, the only way that we could really be sure that the culture would be extirpated is if it was really part of Eretz Yisrael. Shimon, and then back to Avi K.
So is the Rambam saying...
Blackbutt updated, by the way.
So I guess the Minchas Chinuch had been based on the Svara of the Rambam? I mean, where he said...
Yeah, no, he's right. He's suggesting that, you know, but he knows, he quotes a range of views. We're going to get to the Urayim, if not, hopefully today. You know, yeah.
Could this, like, now be extended, like, to other countries that have a based culture, technically?
Not in a halachic way.
It has to be universal.
But at least in...
I mean, in general, the Rambam, you know, speaks very emphatically about how, you know, critical it is to put oneself in an environment for spiritual success, as does everybody else. But we have to be very, very circumspect about saying, you know, this is just like Mitzrayim, you know. We have to be, you know, people tend to exaggerate those things. It's actually, you know, bad is not just like Mitzrayim, you know. Mitzrayim is unique. Even the Rambam seems to note that, right? He says, "Maaseh mikol kolin yoser mikol haratzos," right? That their culture is uniquely debased. Okay, so let's take a look at the Smag. The Smag again. The Bali Atosos were, the Smag in general was a, you know, a great acolyte of the Rambam, but you know the Bali Atosos were all fascinated by this point of the Rambam seeming to suggest that it's an Isser Mukhlad on the one hand, and on the other hand, right, you know, having, being a passport, you know, carrying, you know, member himself. So how does that work, right? There hasn't been a Kibush Rabim that we know of. Okay, so this Smag. Bitosefta, right? That was what David was just asking about. Maybe the heter would be is if you really side with this idea that Mitzrayim was Nisbal Bil. But that doesn't seem to be the way that the Tosefta, at least our Tosefta, there are two of them, there's one in Kiddush and one in the Yadayim, our Tosefta seemed to conclude the opposite, right? That the Mitzrim, right, Nasan Lehem HaKlas of Kitzva Be'arba'im Shana. So, we shall see. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi. Halacha Rabbi Akiva mechavera, but lo me rabbo. Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi. Rabbi Lazar Mimetz, otherwise known as Yireim, we'll see in a second. Loso Sifu. Kilomar. Right, so you can't really answer for the Rambam per se, but it could be that those kehilos that are found in Egypt assume that the nature of the Isser isn't to be in Egypt. Right, not like the Yerushalmi, where it says the Isser is to be there, right? It's only Mutter if it's Schora or Pragmatia or Kibush Aratzos. But maybe the nature of the Isser is like the Psukim say, Baderech Asher Amarti Lecha Lo Sosif O Dirosa Veshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim Bonios, and or the Pasuk in Shoftim, Lo Yar Belo Susim, Bakal Yar Belo Susim, Lo Yashiv Esalam Mitzrayim Leman Har Bosus, Veshem Mar Lachem Lo Sosifun Lo Sosifun Baderech Hazeh Od. So there, the emphasis in both cases seems to be on the Derech, and the Smalek says maybe that's what these Kehilos assumed. And in fact, the Yireim does assume that way. It's a big Chiddush. But this is really one completely different from the Rambam school of thought. And the Rambam is totally focused on living there. He doesn't seem to think very much about, you know, returning to there. It's not the Derech, it's being there. Okay. But the Yireim is the other pole in that, in, you know, the spectrum of Rishonim. This is amazing. He says, even if we would assume, like David's point, that Sancheiriv was Mevalbel the Umos, and that we don't really have conventional Egyptians per se any longer, that still wouldn't help, because what's the nature of the Isser? About the? Not so much the land, but the return. So he says the Isser would be to return to this place, even if there's no connection between this place and the people who once lived there. That's fascinating. But oh, he says, and anyway, that's too big an assumption in terms of Sancheiriv Bilbalasa Umos, because we don't paskin like that sheet of Rabbi Kiva, but we paskin halach Rabbi Kiva mechavero velo mirabo. We paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. Okay. Right, so if you can get back to Egypt without having to go from Eretz Yisrael to Egypt, there's really no problem. So Daniel went from Persia, you know, to Mitzrayim. I guess he didn't have a stopover in Tel Aviv. So there's this whole discussion in the Achronim about the Sheet of the Urayim. Like, well, what is he saying exactly? Granted, it doesn't seem to conform very well to the Pesukim in Bishalach, Ki Asher Yisem Es Mitzrayim Hayom, Lo Sosifun Lirosam Od Ad Olam, doesn't say anything there about the Derech, but in the other two places in Sefer Dvarim, the Derech is very prominently featured. V'Hashem Amar Lachem Lo Sosifun Lashuv B'Derech Hazeh Od, Shoftim, V'Hashivcho Hashem Mitzrayim Banios, B'Derech Asher Amarti Lecha, Lo Sosif Od Lir Osa. Derech, in both places. So some think, believe it or not, I mean, it seems a little bit hard to believe, to be honest, but there are some who say that the Urayim really thinks that you have to make all 48 stops. Like, even in Punon and Ritma, and Etzion Gavir for sure. That you like literally would have to retrace the steps in Parshas Maaseh. Dafka. That seems to be an extreme reading of the Urayim. I don't really pick up that so much from the Urayim, but he seems like to go back from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. Now the question would be, like, what's the nature of the Yisr? I understand very well, the Shitas HaRambam, what the nature of the Yisr is. Even though the Rambam does something of a Chiddush by saying, oh, we transferred over from the population to the country, but what's the nature of the Yisr again, Eitan? And he says this in both the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Yad HaChazaka. Why does the Torah restrict Jewish communal life in Egypt? The people are debased. The culture is degenerate. And so we don't want to be influenced by that. Fine. So what's the nature of the Yisrael? You can't travel from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim? Like, what's that about?
Yeah, go ahead. Maybe it's like you're undoing going out of Mitzrayim.
Yeah, it's like it's like this cosmic reversal of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So again, I think it's quite an extreme position to take that you'd actually have to literally reverse it step by step. But Eitan, how would you interpret that? So it's not sort of totzah oriented that you'll end up in Mitzrayim and be influenced by these people. But what's the affront here? To whom is the affront really?
I guess Hashem, because he took us out of Mitzrayim to make us his nation, but. You're rejecting that?
Right. It's like, you know, sort of undoing the origin moment of the Jewish people. So these are two like radically different conceptualizations of the Yisr. In theory, and maybe in reality, as we'll see tomorrow, in theory a person could actually maintain both of these positions. Like, if you happen to go back from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, you violate two lavin, right? If you go there from Canada, or Marseille, right? Only one. So it's possible to maintain both of these. I have an idea that there's a Rishon who might. Or who alludes to the fact that he sees both of these as somewhat problematic. But on its face, it's really a radical like point of divergence in the sugya. Egyptian culture, Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim, versus nothing to do with the Egyptians even. They're just totally secondary to this discussion. No, this has nothing to do with them. It's just about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? And that's a profound, profound distinction. Now, obviously, what I'm setting up is not just the possibility of synthesis, but what's on my mind is, I'll get to you as the second general, I want to try to give you the last word, is Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rakol Yarbelo Susim. Right, Avishai? So, the Torah says, we don't want the king, I'm going with Rabbi Akiva Eiger for a second, to have too many horses. I don't really care where they come from. That's an issue. Can't have too many wives, can't have too much money, can't have too many horses. I don't care where the money comes from. I don't care where the women come from. I don't care where the horses come from. That's one iser. Then there's a separate and distinct iser called Lo Yashiv Es Ha'am Mitzrayma L'ma'an Harbosus V'Hashem Amar Lochem Lo Sosifun Lashuv B'Derech HaZa'od. And we wondered aloud for Tosvos, for Rabbi Akiva Eiger, what's the nature of that love? Lo yashiv es'am mitzrayim aleman harbosus. Is it really about the susim? Isn't that covered by rak lo yarbelu susim? Is it really about the horses? Or is it about lo yashiv es'am mitzrayim? Don't bring them back to Egypt. Emphasis on the process of bringing them back. Like more like in the direction of the Urayim. V'Hashem amar lachem, lo sosifun lashuv baderech hazeod. Yetzias Mitzrayim was meant to be an irrevocable process. So to bring them back, maybe that's the idea of a separate love. Even if it's for purposes that could theoretically be constructive, maybe the Torah just gave Laman Harbo Sus an example, the kind of reason that you'd want to have this kind of relationship with Egypt. I don't know. So I'm very interested in digging under the surface of that point. Yeah, General, please.
Could somebody read the Urayim to be similar to the Rambam? He would allow the Melech to conquer Mitzrayim and people to come back? Because the idea is, like, if you just go back, you're sort of, like, repudiating what you already did to get out of Mitzrayim. But if you're going to conquer it, you're doing it in a very, you know, you're doing it under the laws of Torah. You're sort of doing the opposite. You're, like, making Mitzrayim do it.
Yeah, so logically speaking, let me just explore what the general's saying. Always thinking like a good general. Expansionist policy. So what the general seems to want to say in this context is, look, if Eitan is correct, and that the Urayim is really undergirded by this idea of repudiation of Malchus Shamayim, as illustrated by Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, and you're reversing that process by going back individually, collectively, the Jewish people going back. So Yossi's point is, how in the world, if that's really the underlying logic of the Urayim, how in the world would a lav be implicated by, let's say, the Hechitim Tzid Rambam, Kibush Rabim? I'm not undermining its Yossi Mitzrayim. Maybe I'm like, you know, furthering it in the most dramatic way possible, right? I'm turning Mitzrayim into, it's Kibush Rabim, that means there's Kedusha Saras Yisrael, Lina Trumos Humaisros. So the general wants to know, logically, would that work? I suspect it would. The Urayim did not address that issue. I suspect it would. I can't be certain of the point, though, because it could be that the Urayim's perspective is, even for that, you're not supposed to go back. Like, Yetzias Mitzrayim is irrevocable. God doesn't want you there. Right? So just like, this is getting back to our point before, of Mas Eretz Mitzrayim and Mas Eretz Kanan. So what's Mas Eretz Kanan? Hacharem tacharimem. Right? We're supposed to annihilate them. Obviously, if they accept Shalom, that's even better. But we're not supposed to have an ongoing relationship with the culture of Kanan. Mitzrayim, if the idea is not to reverse Yetzias Mitzrayim, so maybe we're just not supposed to be there. So I would say, gun to my head, I'm sort of partial to your logic, but it's inherently speculative, so I don't really want to commit myself to that position. So in any event, it would appear on its face like the Rambam and the Urayim are really evoking two completely different conceptualizations of the Mechayev. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. I'd prefer, you know, to look for synthesis where we could, but, you know, we're going to have to investigate that point further. So again, you know, please, you know, from the Radvaz on, through the end, just come prepared for Shir Tamra. We'll probably need both periods, but we'll cover the rest of the chorus and continue to develop our line of inquiry here. Okay. All right. Have a good night, guys.
According to the smack of the Urayim, the king.